Good morning. This is the second Sunday of Advent season. Last Sunday we talked about the candle of peace, and today is the candle of love. And it's just miraculous how James is touching upon those topics. Last week we talked about conflict in life and arguments and how it actually begins that internal struggle with inside of us. So it's a matter of finding that peace, that civil war that's going on inside before we can have peace with others. This morning we're looking at love, and that God alone has that type of love for judgment, and that we need to quit playing God, James says, and be reminded of this very precious gift of Jesus that has entered into history of mankind as a baby in a manger, showed us how to live, and sits at the right hand of God for all eternity, who has given us these precious love gifts of hope and love and joy and peace. And then the center candle is Christ. So we have this morning coming the Grubbs family to light our candle for us. If you guys would come on up. Christmas will be here before we realize it. We're looking forward to our special Christmas program next Sunday. And so this is our countdown to Christmas. Okay, so the candle of love is lit. And there, thank you guys. Yeah. We have a little video too on that. Hey, the candle of love today, and it hit me in the first service. You know, there's a lot going on around us nationally and then on a worldwide level, a lot of bad things, evil things happening. But, you know, one thing I have noticed, too, it seems like maybe because those things are happening, I don't know, but it just seems like people are trying to be a little nicer to each other this time of the year and with all the other stuff going on. Just a reminder, you know, as Larry said, that mercy does triumph over judgment. And I'm here to lift your load this morning, to quit playing God and all of us, to let God, that's in God's description, and talking about judgment, judging others. And, you know, scripturally, there is a right and a wrong way. I mean, it says that we as fellow believers in love, if we see a fellow Christian, talking about within the community of God's church that's going down the wrong road and in love to try to help them and pick them up. And the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know. What James is talking about here is a sarcasm, is a putting down, is trying to make yourself look better by putting someone else down. I don't know. That's just something, human tendency that tries to do. We think our own sinfulness is not as bad if we can make somebody else look worse. And so, you know, when I read this verses of scripture, you know, I thought to myself, and God was saying, did you hear that? You know, it just reminded me of this little part on Elf, and it's Chuck's favorite show, I think. But when Elf drinks a whole 2-liter deal of Coke and then burps forever, and he says, wow, did you hear that? You know, and, I mean, that's just, I don't want to say the feeling I got when I read this, but I'm saying, but, you know, God was saying, hello, did you hear that? You know, and so let's look at this. In James 4, 11 and 12, it says, brothers. So we know James is a book that is written to the Christian community. And he's writing and talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ as a family of God, and how we're supposed to talk and react to one another. And I'll just be honest. This is probably the one most important thing that Christians really need to work on. Because there's way too many denominations that are legalistic, that are judgmental, that says you have to do it a certain way, you have to dress a certain way or talk a certain way, or you have to go through this checklist before you can be a part of our group. And he's talking to Christians, and he's saying, stop it. You know, stop putting other people down. God sees a heart. God doesn't look at the external. And so he's saying, brothers, do not slander one another. So the type of judgment he's talking about is one that slanders, that puts down. There's something about that works on our own pride, you know, that we think makes us look better if we can judge others. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Well, what law is he talking about? Is it really against the law to judge somebody else, to pass judgment on somebody? He's talking about the royal law of God. What is the royal love of God? Well, that is love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor. And it says, you know, do unto others, you'd have them do it. Those are the royal laws of God, is that of love. And that's why we light the candle of love. This is what Christ has showed us. In the agape sense, because Jesus showed love like it had never been shown before in history. You know, people always knew it was better to love than hate, just like it's better to work than it is to steal. But Jesus showed a whole new level of love that did show mercy, that did show grace, that did show forgiveness, that gave love to people even if they did not return it back. And that was that agape love, and this is the law of God. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So he's saying that as we judge other people, we're putting ourselves above the law, God's royal law of love. We're becoming God ourselves. We think we have the knowledge to pass judgment on other people or who they are. There is only one lawgiver and judge. That's you or me. No, it's God. There's only one law and judge, and the one who is able to save and destroy. You know, can you imagine what kind of burden would be lifted if we really believed this? You know, that we don't have to have that burden of judging people, you know, or passing judgment. God does that, and he does that in a loving way. He does that in a full knowledge way. And he does that in a motive way, too, and we're going to talk about that. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So he's basically saying this is like playing God. You know, at Christmas time, we talk a lot about games and different kinds of games. And you know, people buy a lot of games at this time of the year. I'm a board game person. You know, but I know there's a lot of digital games now. But one of the games that Christians play way too often is that game of trying to play God or be God and judging other people. And that's what causes so many problems and discord and divisions within God's churches. But it's only God's responsibility to judge others. It's not ours. So we're going to look at why we judge people and when it's wrong to judge other people. And how do we break that habit of judging other people? So Romans 2:3 says, first of all, so when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? So this first thing, why do we judge other people? Well, we do that to excuse our own faults. And we think somehow by accusing other people, we're excusing ourselves. Somehow in humanity, we think if we can make somebody else look bad, that makes us look least bad, okay? If that makes sense. You know, and we owe a $5 million debt, but somebody else owes a $20 million debt, so we want to pass judgment on them and how awful they are and what they've done, so it'll make our debt not look as bad, okay? So it's a matter of pride to excuse our own faults. And, you know, we have a way of using words. When we pass judgment on other people, you know, we'll say, well, they're such a gossip. You know, well, what are you doing? I'm just sharing concerns, you know. We have these words. Well, he is so lazy. Oh, really? You're not lazy? No, I'm just mellow, man. I know how to go with the flow. Or negativism. No, I'm not negative. I'm realistic. Or somebody says, they are so unreliable, and you say, well, what about you? No, I'm flexible. And so different terminology, you know, in discerning and being critical. Being critical, no, I'm being discerning. And so we had this way, and the thing about judgmentalism, that's what it does. It just plays upon our own pride, and it's a fun game because, you know, we're up there with God then. We're passing judgment on other people, and we don't even know the full story. We don't know them. We don't know their motives. We don't know their past. We don't know where God's at with them in life. We don't know, you know, we don't know anything, basically. But yet we pass judgment so quickly, whether it's an immediate response just because of the way a person looks or because something that they said or something that they, a one-time experience that they did, so all of a sudden that creates and that defines who that person is just because of one mistake within their lives. So, and another reason, Proverbs 26:22 says, gossip is so tasty, how we love to swallow it. So not only do we do that to excuse our own faults, but also it appeals to our pride. So in both of those sins, it makes us, we try to make ourselves not look as bad by making others look worse, and in the process, it doesn't do that at all. It's just a lie that we try to convince ourselves with by doing that. And the Bible says you're actually going to have to deal with this more than anything else in your Christian life, the self-righteousness, or because church people think they stand in judgment of others. You know, I got it right. I'm a Christian. It's an attitude. It's being critical. And the problem is it comes way too naturally, okay? And naturally means in the sinful sense, in the physical sense, that sometimes it's Christians that think they're on an upper realm than everybody else. Or if you're not doing it exactly like I'm doing it, you know, then you're wrong. You're not up there, you know, in that spiritual sequence or whatever. And that's why James is addressing this. And he starts off, brothers, he's talking about the church of God, the family of God. And he's saying it ought not to be. And there's two different degrees of slander, I guess you could say. The first degree of slander is when you put somebody down, or you know what you're saying is going to put them in a bad light, and it's passing judgment. And things like, do you know what they did, or do you know what they said, you know, or do you know what they did? Maybe a mistake. The second degree of I'm sharing this with you so you can pray with me about it. You know, kind of in a subtle way of judging other people, and this is what we need to pray about, you know. And so it's a little bit of pride there and that we're looking at. And it never excuses our own sinfulness. And James is going to talk about that. It doesn't make us any better by doing that. But we tend to judge others to excuse our own errors, and then it appeals to our pride. So why is he saying that we should not judge other people, that as Christians we should not judge others? Well, the first reason is because it is unchristian. Verse 11, it is unchristian to pass judgment on other people. He says, brothers, do not slander one another. Okay, so we have to understand what he's talking about. The judgment here is slanderous kind that defames a person, that puts them in a bad light. It's careless or derogatory type speech or comments about somebody. It's speaking evil of somebody else, passing that judgment without even full knowledge or understanding of what the truth is, or both sides, or even God's side of it. not knowing. So that's what he's talking about here. And he says, brothers, used three times in this passage, because he's talking about we're part of the family of God. Why would you do this against your own brother and sister in Christ? You know, he's saying it's not a healthy thing to do and to pass judgment in that way. And he says slander here. It's the same word that we see for the word devil. And actually, the devil is known as the accuser of the brethren. That's what the devil tries to do, is to pass judgment upon us. Do you ever get those feelings, you know, that that little voice inside that says, well, who do you think you are? You know, you call yourself a Christian, yet you do that. Or how? What do you mean telling that person that? You're no better than they are. And what do you mean you believe this in the Word of God? You know, at one time, I thought that was a convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you know, telling that and kind of, but I felt defeated and beaten down and very unworthy as a Christian to live for Jesus. And somebody shared with me, actually, that's the deceiver. That is the slanderer. That is the one who stands in judgment over you, the devil, Satan himself, that tries to put us down when we're already down and kick us when we're down and try to keep us from going forward. The words of Jesus are always encouragement. I forgive you. You're my child. You know, we're going to get through this thing together. I'm going to be there for you, and you can grow in this area. And, you know, that was just eye-opening for me, even as a high school kid, when I began to realize that. But it's the same wording here that is used for the devil. This is the that passes judgment and tries to slander a person or put them down. And he's saying it's not right. It's unchristian. And he said the sad part about that is even after 2,000 years, no difference. There's still church divisions because people are critical and judgmental and says, no, it has to be done this way. No, it has to be done that way. And we're going to see further in Scripture in Romans 14 where he says that that is not right. So, and then also, it not only is it unchristian in verse 11, he says it's very unloving. It's unloving because he says who judges speaks against the law. And the law he's talking about here is the royal law in James 2:8. Whenever I judge you, I am breaking the law. And if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's the law of love. A person is putting themselves up in the place of God and passing judgment upon others and being critical in that way. He says it's unchristian. And number two, he says it's very unloving. And number three, he says it's very unjustified. It's unjustified. There's only one lawgiver and one judge. You know, this would just bring a tremendous sigh of relief. You know, if we, you know, we think we're too busy. Well, you know, maybe we're too busy in this area. You know, we need to quit. And it's not one of the spiritual gifts. You know, I have the gift of judging. You know, that's not in the Word of God. So maybe that's something we can just let go. You know, if we'd realize what a peace could overcome us, say, that's God's responsibility. You know, God's, that's part of His job description. You know, He's going to be the ultimate judge. We see things in this life that we feel like are not completely right. And, you know, so we leave it to God. He said He's the final judge. He's the final authority in all those things. There's only one lawgiver, only one judge, and we're not it. And, you know, because we tend to generalize people with one mistake, don't we? We tend to generalize people maybe in that first 15-second count when we meet somebody, or the way they look, or the way they have their hair, or you know, or maybe the one mistake that we know of. You know, immediately we go there and say, I knew it. I knew he was that kind of person, you know. And so we define their whole life because maybe of one mistake that they had made and they wish they hadn't. And psychologists tell us too, but the Bible has already told us this, we tend to judge people too in what we fear most in our life. Have you ever noticed that? And I'm not saying you have the same sin in your life, but I'm saying it may be the thing you fear worst in your life, so we're the most judgmental in that area towards other people. I've just seen that as pastor, and times people bring up things, and I wonder, well, what are you afraid of, you know, because of that sin? So we tend to judge others of what we dislike about ourselves. So when is it wrong? Then he tells us, well, we shouldn't judge people because it's unjustified. We don't know all the facts. It's very unloving and it's unchristian. It's not a Christian thing to do. There's only one lawgiver and there's only one judge, and that's God, and we're not it. And we do that because of out of our own pride, and we think by judging others it makes us look not as bad or maybe not bad at all. So when does God say it's wrong to judge others? Because like I said, sometimes there's things in a loving way, in a Christian way, Christ-like, brotherly way, where you help somebody if they've fallen into sin. You know, we help restore them. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the destructive type of judging that can destroy a person. So number one, it's wrong to judge others when I am practicing the same sin. You know, God's word says, who do you think you are? You're doing the same thing. And this is what the Pharisees and the scribes did. They were always putting Jesus down. They were always putting everybody up and all these rules and regulations, and they were in the hundreds. And Jesus himself said, you know, are you crazy? You guys don't even do this. You condemn everyone, and yet you're doing the same sin. So when is it wrong to judge other people? When we ourselves are doing the same thing. Romans 2, 1 through 3, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge others, you're condemning yourself. For you who pass judgment, you do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment on those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet you do the same thing, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? What is he saying? We don't have the right to speak up. We don't have the right to say anything if there's an element of that judgmental attitude within our own lives. If I lack the personal integrity, it says I'm guilty too. And that's why when the Pharisees, they brought this lady caught in adultery. Remember, they were going to stone her to death. And what did Jesus do? He said, you know, okay, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. The Holy Spirit convicting power was there, and they all dropped their stones. They realized, you know, they may not have had the same sin. Maybe they did. And because that's what they feared most in their life, they, you know, were aggressive against that. And he said, you can't do that. We're all in need of redemption. We're all in the same boat together. That's what James is telling the family of God. We all need a redeemer. We all need forgiveness of sin. And we don't have any right to judge another person, especially if I'm guilty of that same sin. And then also in Matthew 7, 3 through 5, it says this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You know, another time when it's wrong to pass judgment on somebody else is when it blinds me to my own faults, when it blinds me to my own faults. Okay? Now, you see this in the context of Sermon on the Mount. You know, this is Hebrew humor, okay? It's humor by exaggeration. And Jesus, probably when he said this, disciples just started laughing and said, oh, Jesus, you're so funny, you know? But you see the picture, you see the cartoon of a speck in somebody's eye, something you probably couldn't even see without a magnifying glass. But the guy condemning him for and judging him for that speck in his life, here's a guy's got a big old plank of board hanging out of his eye, you know? And that seems funny, and that is definitely an exaggeration. But that's what Jesus is saying, and that's what he saw. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. So this exaggeration just to prove, you know, that judgmental attitude is wrong. Because as soon as we passing judgment, you know, God's touching at our heart and saying, you know, you're not perfect either. And you have, you know, you need forgiveness too in that, in several things. So he's saying it's wrong to judge when it blinds me to my own faults. That nitpicking, the speck analyzer, you know, in verse 2, it says, in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, which should be a very sobering scripture. And the way that we criticize others, we will be criticized. So it's wrong to practice that same sin, wrong to judge if we practice the same sin, and it's wrong if it blinds us of our own faults. But three, here too, judgmentalism is wrong too. In John 7:24, it says, Jesus said, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment, okay? So when I draw conclusions based on outward appearances, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, when James used the illustration of a rich man and poor man, they came into a church context, and the rich man was shown all the attention just because of outward appearance and what he looked like and his clothing, his apparel, and everybody ignored the poor person, okay? He's saying that's wrong to pass judgmental attitudes on people just simply by appearance. Those first 15 seconds or whatever. That's what happened in 1 Samuel 6:7 when they were looking for a king and David, the little shepherd boy, was chosen. And they said, what? You know, they looked at the physical appearance and they said, that scrawny little kid, you know. And that's when he said, well, God does not look at the outward appearance, but on the heart, on the inside. And that's how God judges. So it's wrong to pass conclusions about the way a person looks. And then it's also wrong when I condemn someone before knowing all the facts, okay? To pass judgment on somebody without knowing all the facts. You know, we see that all the time. We're seeing it in America today. The news doesn't get all the facts right. Sometimes they have to come back and say, we were wrong about this. Most of the time there's a cover-up, but but you never, sometimes you don't know the facts. You know, there's facts on both sides, and then there's God's facts too, and we don't know them all, okay, on the things that we see and fear. But we're so quick to jump on everything that comes along and ride that because there's that sense of pride within ourselves. See, I knew that they were wrong. I knew that they weren't so good. So he says it's wrong. In John 7:51, Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and who was one of their own number, asked, talking to the Sanhedrin, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? So, he's saying it's wrong to pass judgment without knowing the facts. And we don't always know the facts and inside and out, especially the way that God knows the facts within a person. So, there's always your side, their side, and God's side. And so usually we just have that partial truth. So he said that's when it's wrong to pass judgment when we don't know all the facts. And then also in Colossians 2:16, this is interesting. It says, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or regard to religious festivals, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Jesus Christ. So, and then in Romans chapter 14, let me just read some of this, because that's what Romans is about too, is judging other people. And this is why it's so relevant within the church of God. And he's not talking about other religions or false religions that we know is wrong. He's not talking about judging people in the Ten Commandments. You know, you can't say, oh, well, I wanted to kill that person. Don't judge me. You know, that's not what he's saying. There's certain things that are black and white in God's word, and we know that are right, and things that we know that are wrong. And he's talking within the Christian community, too, and how we should act. And so he's not talking about, you know, you can know in your heart and in your mind what's right and what's wrong, according to God's word, according to scripture. But there is such a thing as a law of liberty that we have in the Christian community. And that's what he says, you know, don't allow that dissension and that putting down, that criticism to happen within the church. He says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Or he's talking about disputable matters here. Some things, it's just not worth it, and you can't judge a person and their love for Jesus Christ and their Christian commitment by external things that are happening. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or fall. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He who gives, God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord For none of us live to himself, and no one dies unto himself. Basically, what it's saying is just using this as an illustration. Of course, we know in those times, people were being judged. Christians were judging other Christians. They were being judged for not following Judaistic rituals, you know, and being put down for that. And James says that ought not to be. Others were being judged by what they ate. And in reference to there was meat sacrificed to idols, and Paul came along and said, there's only one true and living God. Hey, pass the hamburger. You know, it gives me no problem. But others, it offended them. And Paul came along and said, if it offends somebody, don't do it. You know, be a mature Christian about this. Don't whine about it. If God has given you a freedom about it, okay, you know, but don't flaunt it. The same way with drink, you know, same way with alcohol. We know that God says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with God's Spirit, you know, and that's wrong to live in that dissipation because Jesus Christ is our God, not alcohol. But it also says that, you know, there's an appropriate way, and his first miracle was turning the water into wine, and they said, you know, there's a balanced way and a little bit. He told Timothy a little bit, you know, for your stomach's sake. So, and that's the same way with everything, whether it's eating, you know, the food, not to abuse it. When we have a Thanksgiving dinner here, you sit across from somebody, they're not eating any turkey, and you say, why aren't you eating turkey? They said, well, I'm a vegetarian. And you say, weird, you know. But they look at you and say, why are you eating animal, you know, meat? I said, I love it, you know. And and they say, weird, you know. And so it said, you don't judge a person by what they eat. You don't judge a person by what they drink. And it said, and you don't even judge a person by what day they observe to serve the Lord. I know at the beginning of our church, we had a Saturday evening worship time, and that was great, and it met the needs of some people that had to work on Sunday. Then we eventually switched to two services on Sunday morning, but the people that worshiped on Saturday, were they any less worshipers than those who came to church on Sunday morning and worshiped the Lord? He's saying no, and he's saying these people or these local bodies that begin to make all these rules and regulations, you know, that you have to dress a certain way, your hair has to be a certain length, you have to talk a certain way. He's saying all those, just their judgmental attitude, and he's saying Christians are the worst about this, is looking down on other people and expecting non-Christians especially to act like a Christian even before they know the Lord Jesus and have the Holy Spirit, a very condemnative nature and attitude towards people, and very judgmental even within the body of Christ. And he just goes on and says this ought not to be. He says, except those who are weak in the faith without passing judgment on disputable matters. A man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another's whose faith is weak, only vegetable. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. The man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. He goes on and says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. So in this community of Christianity, of brothers and sisters in Christ, he's saying not only, you know, God may give you a freedom now, and we're talking about disputable matters. We're not talking about how you get to heaven and the Ten Commandments and things that are definitely wrong and black and white. We're talking about those disputable matters here. But he also says, yes, you can have a freedom in that if through God's presence in your life, it gives you a freedom and in your conscience, it's okay. You know, so it may be wrong. Somebody grows up in a family that had alcohol was definitely a problem. It destroyed the family. Some people have trouble with that. And then it's definitely wrong, okay? Others, you know, have that freedom, know how to control it, know how it does not control them life. As long as that's not the thing that is worshipped and put in front of God, then, you know, they can do that. And that's what he's saying, don't offend other people. Don't judge other people on that. And he says, don't offend people. So somebody that has problems with that, you don't bring a keg of beer and say, come on, you know. And that's offending them. And that's also tempting them to sin because they know that that's a weakness in their life and they can't do that. You know, it would be wrong. God's word is very clear. Drunkenness is definitely a sin and offensive, and it does destroy families if it's not controlled in that way. As with other stuff, you know, sex is good. God created it, okay? But within the realms of marriage, okay? Not outside. There's certain things. There's a time and a place that. So anyway, that's what he's saying. Liberalism and judgmentalism there we don't judge other people because God knows their heart and we don't. Just because we think, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, you know, well, you know, like I'm saying, there's certain things right and wrong, okay, that are in God's word, and that's not what I'm talking about. And he writes it out. He said, except those who are weak in the faith without passing judgment on disputable matters. We're talking about disputable matters, okay, here. So don't be judgmental in that area in Romans. So verse 22, so whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. Blessed is a man who does not contemn himself by what he approves. Okay, so if it does become a problem though and in our Christian life and keeps us from God and from growing, then yes, it's definitely wrong. Okay, verse 20, don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else to cause your brother to fall. So he's saying there is a prerequisition there. You don't do it, though, if it hinders someone else or causes someone else to fall. Okay? So not to be judgmental on that line. And then also when it causes me to speak evil about another Christian. James 4:11, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. So it's wrong to pass judgment when we're speaking evil about another Christian. Ephesians 4:29 tells us that as Christians, so we're all in this family together, how are we going to live together? How are we going to have a strong unity in the Spirit of God within churches? It says to speak encouragingly. It says that we're here to speak positively, to build up one another, encourage one another. You know, one thing I've learned in years of pastorate, that Christians basically know. I mean, if you're a Christian, a true born-again believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you and convicts you, you know what's wrong and what's right. So most of the time, people are kicking themselves when they mess up, when they make a mistake, and don't need someone else to come along and finger point or pass judgment upon them. You know, they're already down. And somebody said that Christians are the only one that kicks its own kind when we're down, you know, when we're hurting. And James is saying that ought not to be. He said when we pass judgment and speak evil about another Christian, he's saying that that is wrong. We don't need nagging. We need encouragement, okay, to live the Christian life. And then also when I try to judge others' motives. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. So here's another side of judgmentalism that maybe we don't think of enough. You know, here's the problem. We don't know the motives of that person, okay, or the series of events or the history that led up to that. How many times do we even ask ourselves, I don't know why I did that. What was my motive? You know, what did I think I would accomplish through that? Okay, there is this guy named David Roper. He wrote a book, and in that was a story about this bachelor. This was years ago, but he just got a new job in Dallas, Texas, okay? And he worked for this company, and one of the things the company did was give everybody this huge turkey at Christmas time. Now, he knew that turkey was coming, but he thought to himself, I'm a single guy, I don't have a family, I don't need that big of turkey, what am I going to do? Well, his work associates knew that, knew his attitude about it, so they were going to play a trick on him. They created this paper mache turkey, okay, and then covered it up, and it looked and felt and had the weight of a real turkey. And so anyway, when they passed out the turkeys that day, he had no idea that his turkey was fake. It was a paper mache. Okay, so he gets on the bus to go home, and a guy sits down beside him on the bus, and they get to talking. And this guy's saying, you know, he's out of work, doesn't really have a lot of money, but he was able to scrape up enough for just a little hamburger to take home to his family and his kids. And that was going to be his Christmas meal. Okay, well, this guy has a bright idea. You know what? I don't need this turkey. This guy does. So he gives him the turkey. He says, let's just make a switch. So he took his hamburger meat, and the guy had this big turkey. Okay, so you can imagine then when he got home and the judgment that went on of the injustice and the evilness of this man who played a horrible trick on me and gave me this false turkey, okay? Well, the point of the story is, and this guy went looking for him every day. He felt awful when he realized what had happened, and he looked for him every day since then and could never find him to explain what had happened. But, you know, so judgment was passed on this other guy as being somebody that was not very nice, you know, and it was a horrible trick played on him, but he didn't understand the motive. The guy's motive was right. In his heart, he wanted to help that guy. He had no idea that it was a fake turkey, okay? And that's what it's talking about here, the way we don't understand when we pass judgment. I remember somehow, you know, in growing up with girls, they like to watch these old black and white movies and love sagas or whatever, and so I'm caught there watching them too. But one of them was called An Affair to Remember. Okay, yeah. Okay, guys don't know it, but I happened to watch it that day. It was a good old Taylor classic. I think that's right. But anyway, and it was Affair to Remember, but not an affair in the sense that they were cheating on their wife. These man and woman weren't married, okay, but they liked each other. Anyway, they established a date. We're going to meet together at this time in this place. And so what happened was the lady went out, and she got hit by a cab, okay, and she was in the hospital for days. Well, the guy goes to show up. He didn't know it. You know, it was before cell phones. And he didn't know what had happened, so he just surmised and began to pass judgment. Well, she doesn't love me, you know. And then he created all these feelings of bitterness and anger inside towards her that she had stood him up, okay? So years went by, and I think finally they met back together. They saw each other, and those feelings of bitterness were still there. And it's because he didn't understand the motives. He didn't understand what it had. He didn't have the full story, and he was passing judgment on this lady. And so, anyway, I guess it turned out okay. I can't remember. They're saying yes. Okay. Don't judge me. I don't know the full story. The whole point here, when I try to judge other people's motives, we don't have all the facts. We don't know people's hearts. We don't know what has transpired in their lives, what they had to go through. And that's what James is saying here. That's when it's wrong to judge other people, okay? So how do we break that habit of judgment? What's going to help us then? Because there's something within inside of us. We want to pass judgment because somehow that's supposed to make us better than they are. And the sad part about it happens way too often in the Christian community because everybody thinks they're spiritual, I guess, and better than other people. And James is saying, no, you need to stop doing that. So how do we break that habit? Number one, we need to remember that I will be judged the way that I judge others, okay? Which is a very sobering thought. In Matthew 7, 1 and 2, do not judge others so that God will not judge you, for God will judge you in the same way you judge others, and he will apply to you the same rules that you apply to others. So, a very sobering thought. It's like the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those, you know, who sin against us. You know, our ability to forgive other people, yet we want God to forgive us. And we know the parable of the man who's forgiven, you know, of a very small amount. He turned around, a very large amount, and he turned around and had no mercy and no forgiveness upon the person who just owed him a small amount. And that's what, you know, it really makes God angry when he's thinking, but I have forgiven you of so much. And I love you and so much, and I have forgiven you of so much, but yet you turn around in an unforgiving spirit and a judgmental spirit towards other people, and that does not make God happy. So a very sobering thought here. Number two, remember we are all accountable to God. So in Romans 14, every one of us then will have to give an account of himself to God. So then, let us stop judging one another. So, we all have our hands full with ourselves without having to wonder about other people or judging other people. and their relationship to the Lord. And that's not talking about evangelism. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs Jesus. In this context, he's talking to the brothers in Christ. And God is going to deal with people through the Holy Spirit and convict them and show them. We, as a church, as a community of God, do it through Bible study and through prayer and through preaching and stepping on toes. And I step on my own toes when I stand up here and preach. But the Holy Spirit does the convicting, okay? And God's going to settle the score, and God sees the inside, not just the external, but the internal. And then this last one, we have to remember how much God has been merciful to us, which takes us back to that James 2:13, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So aren't we so thankful that we don't get what we deserve? You know, and so many times people say, well, God is so unfair, and I say, yeah, he really is. I deserve hell. I don't deserve forgiveness and heaven and his presence. But that's the type of God that he is. He loves his people. He loves his creation. But that creation has to choose to accept him and receive him. And I pray this morning, if you don't know Jesus, just ask him to come into your heart. Say, I want to follow you. Please forgive me of my sins. And he will. And then this one last thought, a poem about the wrecking crew, just for us to think about, which path are we on? What are we doing with life? How do we relate to other people? Are we building up or are we tearing down? Okay? I stood on the street of a busy town, watching men tearing a building down. With a ho, heave, ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and a side wall fell. I asked the foreman of the crew, are those men as skilled as those you'd hire if you wanted to build? Oh, no, indeed, just common laborers are all I need. I can tear down as much in a day or two as would take a skilled man a year to do. And then I thought as I went my way, just which of these two roles am I trying to play? Have I walked life's road with care, measuring each deed with rule and square? Or am I one of those who roam the town, content with the labor of tearing down? So that's what James is saying. Are we tearing down? Are we building up? Are we encouraging? Are we discouraging? Are we judging? Are we leaving that to the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for James, this wisdom book of the New Testament that shows the Christians how to live and the things we need to be reminded of. And Lord, we realize how easy it is just to, Lord, segue into that attitude of judgmentalism. Lord, but we really don't have the right. We don't have the facts. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the love. We don't know the motives. We're not God. And Lord, I pray that we would be relieved of that, is to think that we could possibly be the judge, because we're not. There's only one lawgiver, and there's only one judge of the law, and that's you, Lord. And you look at people better than we can even look at ourselves. And you know people inside and out. We know there's that ultimate day of judging. But even every day as a Christian, we're being judged. And that plumb line is being set, how we're living for you and how we're loving and non-judgmental and forgiving towards others in this life, Lord. It's just so easy to pass judgment. But help us in humility, Lord, to realize that we're all in the same boat together. We're all in need of a Savior and redemption and forgiveness, Lord. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.